Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, reading verse 1. "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision." Heavenly Father, once again we step into your presence. And once again I ask you to help me to preach your word. As I pray many times, sir, we would see Jesus. I'm not here to magnify myself. I'm not here to promote my church nor my denomination. I would love to have more listeners, Lord. I would love for people to attend the church that I'm trying to start, Old Paths Tabernacle. But as someone once said, if you meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Christ and forget him or walk away from him, you've lost everything. Truly, Lord, I want to magnify you. Truly, I want to lift up you. I want to be known for preaching about you and rightly dividing the Word of God. Please touch my listeners. Please help them. Please encourage them, stand with them, and lift them up. Please give them understanding of your Word. And Lord, I thank you and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The verse I just read, Daniel 10, verse 1, is a summation of chapters 10, 11, and 12. It's the final vision that Daniel receives, or at least that's recorded. And it's in character with everything else that we see him speak about and write about. In chapter 10, we see Daniel seeking the Lord, and we're not exactly told what it's about or what he's praying for, but we can infer that it has something to do with the visions that he's received. It says in verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So we see him mourning, praying, seeking the Lord, asking God for understanding, etc. And it says that he prayed for 3 weeks. Many Christians, they pray for 3 minutes and give up. But he sought God, fasting, praying, what have you, for 3 weeks. Then it says that he had a visitor from heaven, some angel or something. And this heavenly visitor came with the express purpose of showing Daniel the vision, helping him to understand the vision, etc. And again, this vision that he's received and the explanation or interpretation thereof is in character with the rest of his prophetic visions. For instance, in verse 14, a verse I've quoted several times previously, the angel speaking says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. In chapter 11, the angel begins to go over what looks like familiar territory to us. It talks about the kingdom of Grisha, and we've studied that. I believe it's in chapter 8 that Grisha is mentioned. But the angel in chapter 10 makes this statement. He says in verse 12 and 13 that he was sent as an answer to prayer. And at the beginning of Daniel's fast, his supplication, his seeking the Lord, the angel was dispatched to come to him, to appear to him, and to give him understanding. But it says in verse 13, again the angel speaking, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. And this is an interesting statement which we'll try to take a look at today. But in chapter 11, as I said, the angel begins to go over what looks like familiar material. We've studied about Grisha. We understand about Alexander the Great, and that he ruled and conquered for some period of time, but that he died, and his four sons took the empire. And chapter 11 takes it from there and begins to describe in detail what happens to each one of those four portions of Alexander's empire. And at the end of chapter 11, the scene jumps to the end times. And in chapter 12, we're given a glimpse of the resurrection at the end of the world. It says in verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So as I said, this last vision that we're given in these last three chapters, chapter 10, 11, and 12, they're in keeping with the other prophetic visions that we see in this book. Again, I refer to chapter 2, where we see Nebuchadnezzar's image, the head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, the legs iron, and the feet part iron and part clay. And again, this is a picture, a prophetic timeline of future events. Most of them today we can say have passed or have come to pass. In Daniel's time, when the vision was given, all of it was future to him, with the exception of the Babylonian kingdom, because we read that Daniel pointed his finger at Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Thou art this head of gold." But the good news, I love this part, the good news is that after this image is described, we see a stone from heaven, a great stone from heaven, coming down and striking the feet of this image, the feet part iron and part clay, and destroying the feet, and then the image crumbling down on top of that stone, the legs, the belly and thighs, the breast and arms, and the head. In other words, symbolically, all of the kingdoms of the world throughout history, the efforts of man, we try as much as we can, certainly, to make things as good as we can on this earth. But it's human effort. But one day, that stone from heaven, Jesus Christ, is going to come and strike that image on the feet and destroy it. And then that stone, Christ, will increase in size and fill the whole earth. In other words, Christ's kingdom will be on earth. His rule will extend all around the world. All nations will bow to him. All people will look to him as king. And the Bible says that his kingdom will never pass away. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that day. But let's take a look at chapter 10. We've said that Daniel was praying for 3 weeks, asking for understanding or whatever it was that he was seeking God for. But in verse 4, "And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." Now that's an interesting description, and we see a similar description in Revelation chapter 1. Let me read the passage. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." In verse 16, "And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, it says, and have the keys of hell and death." So these two descriptions of the angel that Daniel saw and Christ that John saw. The person that appeared to John identified himself to be Christ. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The being that came to Daniel, the description is similar, but this being does not identify himself. It may have been Christ, I don't know. Certainly it looks like Christ, but it may just be some sort of angel. But in verse 7, again we're back in Daniel chapter 10, it says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." When John saw Christ in Revelation in verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." And when Daniel saw his visitor, it says, "And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." The prophet Isaiah had a great vision as well. In chapter 6 of his book it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And it gives a description of what he saw. But he says in verse 5, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah tells us that he saw the Lord. John the Revelator saw Christ, and Christ identified himself. But here in Daniel, we see a being that looks like Christ. But honestly, I don't know if it is Christ or not. It certainly could be Jesus Christ, but again, he's not identified as such. It says in verse 11, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee I am now sent." It is possible that the Father sent his Son to talk to Daniel. But I think that this being is just an angel. Now we know of the archangel Michael, and this angel mentions Michael in verse 13. And we know of Gabriel, another archangel presumably. But this angel that appears, I'm not sure who he is. And if you ever thought that this preacher, Joey Kelly, was a know-it-all, well, I'm here to tell you, I don't know who this angel is. So I guess you can tell all your friends that Joey Kelly admitted that he's not a know-it-all. But there's another similarity between this vision and the vision that Isaiah had. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am done, because I'm a man of unclean lips." But it says in the next verse, verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 6, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Now this live coal, it says that this coal was taken from off the altar, the brazen altar. And we understand that the brazen altar is where the sinner came. He came to confess his sins, and he brought a lamb, or a ram, or some sort of sacrifice. He brought it into the temple. He came to the priest, and he said, "Well, I've committed this or that sin, but I want to make it right with God." And the priest would help that man to sacrifice to God. The man would probably hold his animal, but the priest would take the animal's neck, the lamb's neck, and hold it back, and take a knife and slit its throat. A gruesome thing, surely. But the Bible says that the blood of that animal covered the sins of that man. It didn't wash away. We sing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Christ's blood, the precious blood that he shed on Calvary, washes away our sin. And the sacrifices at the brazen altar were a symbol and a foreshadowing, a type of Calvary. But when Isaiah complained that he had unclean lips, an angel took a burning coal from that altar and touched his lips and said, "Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged." I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ went to the cross for us to take away the sins of the world. But looking quickly back at Daniel chapter 10, verse 16, "And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake," and then it goes on. Again, it's a similar experience to what happened to Isaiah. And in fact, verse 7, which we looked at earlier, it says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." That is similar to what happened on Paul's road to Damascus, where he heard the voice of God, but everyone else that was with him, they were hiding in the ditch or what have you, when the voice of God spoke.
See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying. Looking on, a man would think that's such a tragedy. But what the world not see was when they nailed him to that tree. He broke the chains of sin and set men free. Thorns of violence, thorns of hate were growing wildly. All the pain that sin had caused, you know it was so very plain to see. But when the blood where my Savior bled and died, it broke the chains of sin and set men free. Love grew where His precious blood covers me.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.